Attention.
I'm so excited to talk about
shit with you. Ready in 5, 4, 3. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's at?
Where my mom's at podcast with Christina P.
Come see me do stand up. Hey, can you bring my shittle tater? I didn't just announce. By the time this airs, I'm going to be doing the Netflix is a joke festival. I believe sometime in May. I'm doing it. It's such a cool venue. It's at a cemetery. Isn't that fucking dope? Anyway, get your tickets for that. And then Vancouver, BC at the Vogue. And then Seattle, I've added an early show at the Neptune Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. And then I added an early show at the Gramercy Theater in New York City. And then Ridgemont. Come, Netacunt. Get your tickets at Christina P. Online. Now, with me, you guys, you're not even fucking ready for what you're about to experience. Listen, as you know, over the summer, your mom got into UFOs. I'm sorry, UAPs, a little heavy. And the reason is because of this gentleman sitting right here. Everybody, Lester Nair is in the house, a.k.a. Elroy Spacely on TikTok. Look him up, okay? And I know you're not a UAP person. Great. You're gonna be after you hear what this guy has to say. He's smart. He went to fucking Princeton, bro. He codes. He's a computer guy. And he can understand what these congressmen are saying, most importantly. Thank you for being here, Elroy Spacely.
Where my mom's at. Where my mom's at.
I'm so starstruck because I'm obsessed with your videos. You can understand. So first of all, what the fuck is happening that Congress is discussing aliens? What is happening?
It's really bizarre, and it's bizarre that I'm even here talking to you about this. But, you know, right now we have the Senate and the House basically arguing over a massive UFO bill. And it's even funny to say, like, oh, there's a UFO bill. And basically, the bill outlines a plan, a controlled disclosure plan, right? And it creates a board called the URB, the UAP Records Review Board, 9 people.
Let's, first of all, back up. For anybody, what is a UAP? Why UAP and not UFO? Just start that basic shit for normal people listening who aren't wearing tinfoil hats.
So, you know,
like me.
Obviously, the word UFO has a lot of like stigma and like Hollywood cinematic reference points in people's minds. And folks within the government like saw this as a real issue, but wanted to be able to talk about it without having doors slammed in their face. So they began to use the terminology unidentified aerial phenomena first, and then they changed it to unidentified anomalous phenomena in the last 3 years. Oh. And the reason they did that was because they're not only seeing stuff in space and in the sky, but also in the water that have these weird characteristics.
Because they live in the water. We all fucking know that.
So they're not technically flying.
Yeah.
And they're not only technically aerial, so that's why they've sort of come up with UAP.
It's a UFO rebrand.
Exactly.
Because now we're in a new era.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's go back to this Chuck Schumer bill that is being presented in Congress, y'all. This isn't some wackadoo, you know, thing in the desert that numbnuts are putting together. This is Congress. Okay, so Chuck Schumer, Amy Schumer's uncle, related to a comic. Go ahead.
And it's funny because it's actually a very bipartisan movement that's happened within Congress. And this has been going on. There's a process that's been happening since 2008. And we don't have to necessarily go all the way back there. But, you know, basically 6 senators, 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans put this bill together in the summer. Around the time of this summer,
yeah.
Around the time that David Grush did his testimony.
July 26th. I know, I watched it a few times. I fucking watched it. It was in Congress. So David Grush is a whistleblower.
Yes.
And he came forward and he's like, look, there's UAPs, there's things in the sky we don't know. And not only that, there are funds being diverted to secret government programs, right? To back engineer and do all this shit.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's you know, we've kind of heard rumors like that for a while. But the reason this was different with Grush was he both testified under oath. So like, you know, he could go to prison, And he also went to the inspector general, like the cops for the government people. And they were like, yeah, this is like credible and urgent. So the senators have been talking with Grush behind the scenes, as well as other whistleblowers. I think this is the thing that a lot of people don't know about. There's like dozens and dozens of these government whistleblowers that have been going to Marco Rubio and Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, who are all senators, and saying, like, there is a program where we are reverse engineering craft of non-human origin. And obviously the senators are like, okay, what are we going to do with that? So that's where this whole Schumer-Rounds Amendment or the UAP Disclosure Act of 2023 came about, because for the last several years, so many of these people have come forward that they're like, okay, we have to like create a process to try to like adjudicate this issue.
God, you're so smart. Like when you talk, like I listen to you on TikTok and I have to like slow it down because I'm like, dude, he went to Princeton. Like,
I'm
so
shocked
smart.
People even listen, because it's, I kind of am a little dusty and boring. Right.
But I love it. But you know what? You give it so much credibility because you use the big words.
This is Lakshmi Singh with NPR.
You are the Lakshmi Singh of the UAP world. Okay. So back that ass up. So Chuck Schumer and these other nerds in Congress are, yes, like, we want a disclosure bill.
Yes.
So this means, where is this? What are these programs? What are UAPs? What, yes, are we seeing in the sky?
Yes.
And not only that, is this that I saw the video you had about a document that had been leaked during.
So through from the Seoul conference, which was basically like the timeline of this theoretical controlled disclosure plan. We should come back to that.
Theoretical. Hold on. Say it again. They always have these dumb names and confusing acronyms. For very basically, we're going to tell the public aliens, yes, exist.
Yes.
So this was a conference that took place where?
It was at Stanford. It was hosted by Dr. Gary Nolan, who is, yes, Nobel nominee, has written 300 published papers, like, you know, several patents, started multiple companies that sold for millions, like a very successful general scientist. Like, he's professor of pathology at Stanford. He basically brought in all of these former government people, journalists, and scientists and academics. And they're basically having the, like, hey guys, this is happening conversation. And like, how do we prepare people in our spaces, in our verticals, to like address the issue? So they're trying to sort of like prepare the battlefield, right? For this
society,
rollout.
You,
right,
mean?
Right.
Because what the document, right, that had leaked, there's a video, go to Elroy Spacely, please, on TikTok. There, it's literally a timeline,
yes,
of how the government will disclose to the public,
yes,
that it's like by 2027,
yes,
announce, like, basically, like, what is the president going to come out and be like, hey guys, turns out.
So this is what we're seeing happen right now is like an authentic, organic constitutional struggle between the legislative branch, Congress, the people who like run the money and make the rules, and the executive branch, right? All the three letter agencies, the office of the president, the military. Congress is basically like, yo, where's the stuff? And then the executive branch is like, what stuff? We don't have the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the executive branch behind the scenes is like, shoot, we lost the stuff, because they gave it to the contractors, all these aerospace companies, and the aerospace companies are kind of like, it's ours now. Like, you gave it to us.
Right. Meaning they did deals with these private companies,
yes,
like, hey, can you reverse engineer,
yes,
back in Roswell, this thing crashed.
Yes.
We want to know how to make a zero gravity, blah, blah, blah. So like Boeing or whoever back engineers.
That's the allegation. And I want to be clear, like, I don't have, I had never worked for the government. I don't have a security
clearance.
That's why
I trust you.
I'm not an op. I don't have the answers. I just find this interesting. And I always come at this from like, why are people in power who are closer to the issue? Everyone who's looked at it deeply enough in Congress or in these agencies, their answer is like, oh, I'm more interested and there's definitely something here, as opposed to, oh, this is all hot air. Like, the people closest to the issue,
right,
are not saying this is hot air. So why is that? Right.
That's what's interesting. And that's what lends credibility now, right, to the whole UFO wackadoo discussion. I'm a person of reason. I studied philosophy in college. Everybody knows that. I say it a million times. And I do believe in reason and logic. And I do believe now we are in a place of reason and logic when it comes to UAPs. Mark my fucking words. You heard it here first. 2027 disclosure. All right. Let's talk about the timeline.
Yes.
Right?
So
this is crazy. This got leaked in this Stanford meeting.
So the interesting thing is, the reason that the Seoul conference was happening was because, you know, this bill that's, again, currently like still mid-negotiation, Republicans are trying to kill it. A small set of Republicans are trying to kill it. And if the bill passed in its full form, this 9-person basically Supreme Court of disclosure was going to have to be nominated by Biden starting in March of 2024. So the way that this was going to roll out, if the bill passed as is, would be this 9-person board gets nominated by Biden in March. They have to be Senate confirmed, right? So this is, again, a lot of infrastructure. And then within 180 days, 24 plus federal agencies, including the CIA, the Department of Defense, like all these groups, we're going to have to start submitting records. And what do I mean by like records? Like, what does that mean? It means any email, any text message, any video evidence, any photo, like anything that's a like that's tangible would need to be sent to the National Archives, which is our big library where we have all this government stuff stored. And there are nerds in there who make sure everything stays organized and pristine. And then as that would start rolling out, you know, the idea here is like there's going to be now like revelations about the fact that the federal government has been actively involved in at least the study of this issue mm-hmm. for a very long time. And then possibly, again, some of the more salacious allegations of the
right
crafts
which
and the
bodies.
Which
I don't even care. And I'm like, great, back engineer it. No shit, we have fiber optics. Gee, I wonder how that happened. There's so many, I don't care. I love my iPad. Government, I don't care. I'm glad you did it. Just let's get into it. Let's get on with it. Full forgiveness is what I think most people are like, okay,
so
right? And, who cares?
And this is, I mean, this is very controversial. So I think this is like, so this timeline.
This is the fucking timeline leaked from this meeting.
And what's great about this is, so the one of the people who was a co-author of the UAP Disclosure Act, this bill that's being negotiated over, his name is Carl Nell. He was a former Army colonel and like basically did a whole bunch of work, you know, future-proofing the Army operations, and then also was the chief technical officer at Northrop Grumman for like 10 years. Again, one of these, exactly, one of these defense contractors. So he put this presentation together talking about, the title of the presentation was like, you know, disclosure, the Schumer Amendment, and like where we're going. And I think what's one of the challenges here is like there's no framework for us to understand this. Like we have no, it's basically been like deleted from every aspect of human life as a viable topic of discussion.
Well, not only that, not only deleted, it's also been propagandized.
Yes.
So that if you've been trained, by the way, to call these people nuts. Oh, you're crazy. You aliens. Listen, the probability dictates, duh, there's aliens.
Right.
It's like, of course there's other life in the universe.
The only challenge is, can they get here? Like, that's really the main, like, given the scale of the universe, like, the main, like, thing
of
that people say
is, they're well above us.
So that's, so.
And they're benevolent. And otherwise, they could have murdered us long ago.
This is a very controversial thing amongst the UFO community online.
I know.
Everyone's like, oh, well, don't try. What happens when things change? If they know that we know, are they going to start? I'm fascinated by this
yes,
stuff.
Yes, okay, so go on to that. Sorry,
I'm fascinated. So yes. Basically, there's an outline of like over the course of between like now and the 2030s, like how do they create the infrastructure for people to accept the reality that there's a non-human intelligence presence on planet Earth? So it breaks it down by like different state phases and then each like area. So like you have, you know, the government, you have academia, you have the private sector, and like what the strategic goals are at each stage. So, you know, and this was a recreation. Someone took a picture at this conference. They're going to allegedly release, that's not true. They're going to release all of the presentations online in short order. So this will
be confirmed later. Because person, I mean, I would go, well, who didn't, maybe they doctored this. This is fake. But you're saying this will be corroborated.
I actually created this recreation from the picture that someone took that leaked out. From
you
the,
did this
so
recreation.
I recreated this chart here, yes.
And you're a tech guy.
So, you know, the design work I do every day kind of helped in that context. But again, I think this is fascinating because people are spending a lot of time, effort, and energy trying to create a workflow that is going to like integrate this idea into society across various areas over like a long period of time. Again, because if Biden comes out tomorrow, is like, oh, aliens are real. Half the country is going to be like, ah, it's a distraction because of the Israel Hamas thing or like that. So like there's all this like knee jerk reaction that sort of removes the ability to just kind of like drop this on everybody and like roll out the crafts because everyone's going to say it's a psyop, it's a false flag, it's a this and that. And I totally understand like that perspective.
Well, that's what they said over the summer when there was July 26th. And then I forget whatever it was. I think the releasing the leaked videos of the UAPs during the pandemic, people were like, who cares?
Right.
Nothing burger.
Right, right.
Like, okay.
I honestly don't even know. And look, I get it. I think people, the government chose the worst time when there's the least amount of trust in government to like yes. start coming out with this stuff.
Don't you take that chart down. Hold on. I want Lester to give us an overview. This is, by the way, the language is hilarious and I'm not sure I understand it. So if we could go through, this is the proposed government timeline of how they're going to tell us about the aliens.
Right. So, you know, the phase one, right, they want to demonstrate existence, right? So the idea is like, okay, yeah, like these are real physical objects, right? Actually, let me take a step back. Right before that, there's that shaping stage, which is mm-hmm. to the left. What's in there are the labels of all of these, you know, task forces and programs between 2008, when I said sort of the modern era started, and now, that have gotten us to the place we are today, where mm-hmm. we have these three videos that came out in the New York Times. We're seeing David Grush. We've had some hearings. So like that's like the pre-era. Then we move. So now it's like the idea is like we're demonstrating existence is like where we're at now. And the point there is.
Why'd you take it off? but while they're recovering that, just so you guys know, during the pandemic, there were three videos leaked that you can go to Wikipedia right now. There's the GoFast and what's the other? I forget.
There's GoFast, Gimbal, and the third one. The third one's escaping me. There's too much information in this space.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
But you can actually, I mean, there. It was quote leaked, and the New York Times did an article about it. The New York Times. Okay, this is not some weird publication. Again. In Roswell. This is like legitimate news sources.
And I think the interesting thing about those videos was there was a chain of custody. I think that's the issue with a lot of this UFO stuff is like, what's the chain of custody? Where did it come from?
Right.
And like, how can we know that the source is legit? I think what's interesting about those three videos is the DOD 2 years later, Department of Defense, sorry, came out, the military people came out and were like, yeah, this is.
Thank you.
I spend so much time talking like in these like really like well-informed UFO spaces online where you can kind of like skip all these steps and I have to remember like not everybody.
All the acronyms. I mean, I just learned what a skiff was this summer. So I'm fucking really new. Okay. Hi, mommies. I've teamed up with DraftKings Sportsbook, who will be gearing up for the big game with a huge offer. Right now, each and every new customer will get $200 in bonus bets instantly when they place their first $5 wager on anything. Get in on this action by downloading the DraftKings app and don't forget to use my promo code WMMA. Wondering what you can use your $200 in bonus bets on? Combine multiple bets together from the same game for a shot at an even bigger payout. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry. You can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have the chance to win cash prizes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers, use my promo code WMMA and bet just $5 on any wager and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code WMMA only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsibilities. Gaming resources.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed big time. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it way too easy to create an awesome website. Squarespace is perfect for engaging with your audience and selling anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. Squarespace is super easy to use. You can set up one of their professional website templates. It's customizable and easy to update. You can use Squarespace to sell your own merch. Design your products and production, inventory, and shipping are handled for you. And if you want to sell your products in person, you can do so by connecting a Square Reader to the Squarespace app and keeping your orders, inventory, and customer data in sync with your online store. Squarespace is a great product for business owners. Go check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/WMMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay, so the DOD and all these, yeah, so they're actually taken from naval ships, right? From government ships. These are not, this isn't some hillbilly in North Carolina in his backyard.
That's real. That's actually one of the challenges for getting more evidence right now, because a lot of these platforms on these, you know, fighter jets or on the ships, you know, they're classified platforms. And the argument, which I think is a little specious, but the argument is, hey, you know, this is sources and methods. We can't let the Chinese and the Russians know what our how good our cameras are, what they are capable of, which is reasonable. I totally get that.
Yeah.
So, but the difference is they're releasing videos of Russian jets over Ukraine that are on these same secret camera systems because it's convenient for the political narrative of the day.
Sure.
But like, okay, you guys are saying these are all balloons and air trash. How come you can't
show us that? And also in some UFO communities, from what I understand, the aliens gave all of us technology. There's a theory out there that Roswell wasn't the only crash and that the Russians and the Chinese have the same shit we do, theoretically. I don't know.
The same gentleman that did this presentation at the Seoul conference, Carl Nell, was David Grush's boss for some period of time when they were on that task force looking at this issue. And he when David Grush first came out public as the UFO whistleblower, it was in an article in The Debrief. And in that article, Carl Nell is quoted as saying exactly what you're talking about, which is that there's been this sub rosa Cold War, under the surface Cold War between us and the other two superpowers, Russia and China, over who could reverse engineer this stuff faster, right? Because it's really, when you talk about the technical capabilities, like what are we actually talking about? Like when we say UAV, like what does it look like? What are the performance characteristics? Generally, the shapes that are most commonly seen are orbs, equilateral triangles with the same length on each side but rounded corners, and the classic lenticular disc shape, and then tic tacs, like flying butane tanks, right? Those are like the most common morphologies. And part of what's crazy about it is like some of those are not super aerodynamic to begin with. So it's like, how are they even?
Anti-gravity, man.
Right. How are they flying? And some of the capabilities are anti-gravity or positive lift, instantaneous acceleration. So like, you know, like when you're in a car and you want to go forward, it takes you time to go from 0 to 60. Mm-hmm. But these things are going from 0 to like Mach 10, right? Instantaneously with no interaction with the Earth's atmosphere.
Fumes. You don't see the stream.
There's nothing.
Fuel. They're not fuel propelled is what they're saying.
Most of our aerospace platforms use like combustion, right? So you see heat being given off by the engines when it's working. The weird thing about when you look at these videos, and a lot of people are like, this doesn't look like anything. The part of the weird thing is the technical aspect of these things are flying and they're apparently not expelling any heat, right? So like, where is the energy coming? Like, how is that working? Mm-hmm. That's like super curious and is one of the signals of like, okay, like this is actually pretty weird, because that would be fundamentally, it would be fundamentally different than our current understanding of physics, at least in the public domain.
Unless the Russians back manufactured the shit when it landed in
wherever in the
1960s.
People are like, maybe it's just Russian drones or it's Chinese drones and this and that. And like, I think that's fair. Like some of the stuff is for sure, you know, foreign intelligence collection platforms, like for sure. But we're talking about that 1% of weird stuff.
Right.
Like it's okay. Right. Like we know that there's that stuff, but what about this 1% of the super weird stuff?
And not only that, during the congressional hearing, David Grush was discussing about interdimensional being. I'm talking like AOC and him. We're going back and forth about fucking like fifth dimension beings. Like they could, correct me if I'm wrong, Princeton, but literally the idea that there's a dimension we don't perceive because we have like, you know, these meat vessel eyes, these dog eyes.
Yep.
Right now, there could be aliens coexisting in the fifth dimension.
So the two most popular, from the insiders that have come forward, like the two most popular theories of like, what is this stuff is the extraterrestrial hypothesis, which we're all familiar with, or this other one, like the interdimensional or like crypto-terrestrial. Ultra-terrestrial. Like they're like they've been on Earth this whole time.
Yeah, that's they're for just, fucking sure.
They've just been here and they're not really from out there, but they're just way more advanced than us, right? The interdimensional hypothesis is fascinating. Like the idea is if you think about like a 2D surface, like a piece of paper, imagine there's like, you know, cartoons on the 2D surface, and then you put like a glass a 3D glass on that 2D surface, right? And it casts a shadow on that. So what they're basically saying is like, what they could be is like, you have a fifth dimensional super intelligent being, and we're kind of, what UFOs are the shadow that's being cast on our 3-4 dimensional like experience, in the same way that a shadow that's cast on a 2D surface would look bizarre and weird to 2D people, because they can't see the third dimension.
Yo, you know what I mean? Like, you're already talking like crazy Elroy Spacely. I my stupid brain, I'm really trying, like, cause I'm trying to understand like quantum physics, and I'm reading about this stuff, and I'm like, I just, my pea brain is used to the atomic model of things. And we're literally now in this stage of fucking, what is this, quantum physics. They're actually changing the way of being, or scientific methods now are being altered by quantum physics.
And it's
it
really
does lend itself to this fifth dimensional talk. So it does seem all roads point to like this new way of being in the world, and it's converging.
Yes.
And disclosure. So wait, explain to me. So
yes,
let's go
yes,
back
yes,
because
yes,
guys,
yes.
Hey, you heard it here first. So the laying the groundwork, which is basically what happened with the leaks of the videos during the pandy.
Right. And then, so now they're going to demonstrate existence, which is like, okay, we're going to start having scientific studies and like private sector studies that are like showing that these are real objects. They have these characteristics. We can consistently like see them, monitor them. So phase two moves into like, when they say correlating signatures, it's like, okay, like,
yeah, what did that mean?
So it's like, okay, like, how do we, like, one of the things that the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world, or like the famous like science communicators, talk about when they are constantly asked about this issue on podcasts is, yeah, like, they're just like, oh, well, it's not repeatable, right? Like, mm-hmm, these are fly by night things that happen randomly. There's no way we can set up an experimental situation where we can repeat and then like actually track it. So when they say correlate signatures, it's like, oh, we know that if we look at, you know, the visible light spectrum at nighttime and like send out these particular like frequencies, like we can trigger the appearance of this stuff.
Yeah, that's what they say about the orbs.
Right,
there's
right.
A guy that knows how to bring them out in South Carolina.
This is still so, this is so bizarre that I'm talking about this right now. So that's correlating signatures. And then they're going to move to like characterizing the performance. Okay, so it's like, what are the like the bookends? Like, how fast can this stuff go? How slow can this stuff go? Can it go through water? Can it go through air? Can it go through space? Can it do all of them at the same time? And then finally, like, as we get to what they're sort of calling that phase three to phase four is effectively disclosure, where now it's like, yes, we know what they are. We know how to detect them. We know what their capabilities are. And then you can start getting into the questions of like, who are they? Why are they here? You know, how can we communicate? Like, all these kind of like questions about what it, like the intelligence behind the nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
And this is really how the space breaks down. It's like you have the nuts and bolts crowd who really just want to focus on there's technology and there's crafts and it's physical. And then you have sort of the consciousness or the woo crowd who come at this, and it's like, oh, like if you take DMT, like you can talk to these beings, the same beings.
There's people that definitely believe that. You can pay a guy and he'll take you out in the desert.
Or, you know, the fact that the way you control the craft is by using your consciousness to move,
yes,
through time and space. And so there's like a whole spectrum of entry points for people. And I think it's so bizarre,
yeah,
and so different than like our material like way of thinking about the world. That's kind of why they're trying to create this, like you have to create these like bread, like these like anchors,
yes,
for people to hold on to.
Yes.
It's like, oh, here's a study program from Harvard. That's a legitimate scientific institution. And like, so there's that. And then it's like, oh, and then like these aerospace companies are like able to like replicate some of this stuff and we can see it. So there needs, because the allegation is that this has all been happening in the black world in,
yeah,
these covert programs for decades, but none of the fundamental information has made its way into the public domain. So again, they're like way over here,
yes,
in the process,
yes,
and we're way over here. And how do we basically bridge that delta and that gap?
And this is, okay, so let's walk through, that's fucking, it makes sense when you say it that way. You're like, well, yeah, they've had these black ops, they're called, right, black ops operations programs, where they've been back engineering stuff that fell to Earth since Roswell.
Whether they've been successful or not is, because I'm almost of the opinion that it's a better strategic thing to say, oh yeah, we figured it out, we got some stuff, when you,
yeah,
have no friggin' idea what the hell's going on.
Wait, what's his name that he worked in Roswell and he was on Rogan.
Bob Lazar?
Yeah, Lazar.
Yes, yes.
If you want to know more about this, there is a gentleman by the name of Bob Lazar, and he worked in Roswell, and he worked on one of these programs.
He is a very controversial figure.
But he's so credible. I mean, I feel like he's fucking, why would this guy ruin? And he doesn't want to be a whistleblower. He never wanted to.
And this is there's a really interesting battle of Bob Lazar, like, proponents versus Grush proponent, like people who support Grush's angle. They're basically talking about the same thing, but some folks are like, oh, Grush is clearly trying to, like, he's an op, and they're trying to put it back in the box. And people are like, oh, Lazar was like, didn't know what the hell he was talking about and made it all up. I don't know. I think where I always come back to is, like, what's the chain of custody? Like, and Grush did, you know, a hearing in Congress and has talked to the inspector general, and they've, like, done some sort of chain of custody and verification of his employment with the government and the stuff he was doing. So I feel like more grounded.
It's Grush.
With Grush, regardless, like, they both might be right and they both might be real. It's harder with Lazar because there's nothing to anchor you to reality other than his oral testimony.
Other than his testimony, which, by the way, Bob Lazar was saying certain things, like certain technologies in the 80s. He was like, there's this element, it's called, I forget what
115?
I mean, look at him. That's why he's here, Elroy's basically. 115. And that's what the spacecraft used, 115. By the way, 115 did not exist
at the time. And there's a lot of weird stuff about
Bob's
story.
And it does exist now, by the way. The
right.
Russians
discovered it
and put it on the periodic table of elements. So he did predict, or whatever, was being truthful, and then these things did come out later.
It's bizarre.
Why would he ruin his life, though? He doesn't want to be famous.
This is my argument for when people say, like, a lot of these former government people coming forward about the UFO topic are, like, trying to do it for the money. I'm like, what money?
Bro?
do you know how to make, like, what money looks like and stuff like this? Like, there is no money. Like,
there's no money.
In the books or the podcast, like, I have one of the biggest channels on TikTok.
Yeah.
There is no money. Trust me.
Well, not only that, everybody calls you crazy.
Yeah,
they think,
like,
you're mentally ill.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's like, I do this. Listen, I wanted you here. I just wanted to talk to you and pick your brain. You know, I'm so fascinated by all of this.
It's
bananas.
I think one of the things the takeaway for folks on this is just, there are serious people within the government, within Congress, and within the executive branch from every political stripe that you can think of. This isn't a right issue.
No.
This isn't a left issue.
It's AOC and it's the whatever.
And Matt Gaetz.
Right-wing.
And
yeah,
like,
100%,
it's,
dude.
What other issue have you seen Matt Gaetz and AOC agree upon literally ever? So there's really serious people who are trying to create a process for this. It is currently being blocked by three Republicans, new speaker Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, as well as the head of the Intelligence Committee in the House, Mike Turner from Ohio, and the head of the Armed Services Committee in the House, Mike Rogers from Alabama. So if you're in any of those states and you think this is important, you should know that they're the... Look, just why... What is the justification? If it's nothing, then show us.
Then it's nothing.
If it's something, then show. So it's really hard to defend not wanting, like, the UAPDA to go through, or not wanting legislation around this. And not only...
Yeah, why wouldn't you want... It's like...
I don't...
They just want... You know why? Because they're like, it doesn't exist. Let's just go on status quo. Who gives a shit?
You know what it is? Because it had Schumer's name on it, I honestly think half of it was just, oh,
he's a liberal.
They just looked at the name and, like, oh, we don't want to let Schumer have a win, right? Like, it could be as simple as that. Some people are alleging that the defense companies are paying them off to do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which is also possible. I don't even think they need... It doesn't even need to be that conspiratorial. Like... It could just frankly be like they don't want... It's a transparency process that, like, will hold accountability to government. And probably, like, if we start doing it with this stuff, they're going to start doing it with all
it's
these...
waterfall, yeah.
And we don't want them looking over here, so...
So I have two questions for you.
Yes.
Let's look at the timeline again, because I want to live to see full disclosure. I think so. We've got the first benchmark down. We've laid the groundwork. We've already done that. And then the next big one's supposed to be by 2027.
Yes. So we're going to start. Here's what's basically going to be happening between now and 2027, 2028. You know, again, regardless of whether this bill passes, this is already the toothpaste is out of the tube. The cat's out of the bag. We're starting to see. And actually, this is actually not quite out yet, but, like, there's the biggest aerospace trade organization on the planet, the AIAA, the American Institute for Aeronautics and Astronautics is
the American Institute for Aeronautics. I'm like, Jesus Christ. The AIA, the ARP, the fucking, I hate these acronyms. ATIP. I mean, okay, sorry.
No, what's cool about this is that, I mean, they're basically are like everyone who works in all these aerospace companies, like, like pilots, engineers, it's just like a normal trade organization like SAG or something like that, right? They are about to dedicate a huge amount of their like energy towards a UAP study program, right? Outside of like the government, outside of academia, et cetera. And what's cool about that, it's like, it's not Lockheed doing it. It's not Boeing doing it. It's decentralized across like sensor experts, physicists.
Who's
like
paying for it?
So it's a volunteer organization. People are just genuinely interested. That's the thing that's
cool.
Fascinating. And there's no profit motive. That's really important.
That's really what's important.
And so like that's, I think there's starting to be an aggregation of subject matter experts that are technical that have seen the same stuff that I've been looking at, that you've been looking at, are just like, okay, like let's go figure this out. It's a interesting technical problem. As well as also being fascinating just about life. So that when we're talking about, you know, correlating signatures, characterizing performance in these stages, at least as it pertains to like the private sector lane, like the work of a group like that is what's going to start happening. So basically the former government people are trying to tell the government and the contractors, people in the program, yo, we can do this the easy way and have a process and it's legit and like, you know, we know, or we can do this the hard way and we can just start dropping the stuff and you guys are going to be caught with your pants down. And it looks like the bill might get killed and there's already like now like more people coming. Like there's definitely like a momentum happening where it's like these other whistleblowers. We've recently, an article came out in the Liberation Times identifying the program office within the CIA that's allegedly responsible for these recoveries, the Office of Global Access, and I hopefully don't get you on a watch list by saying that.
I'm sure I'm already on.
But they're
setting
like
up dumb things in my life.
The path is there, like in terms of like who's doing it, how have they been doing it, like all of those pieces are sort of spilling out.
Yeah, it's already in motion. It doesn't. So 2027 is the first date, and then let's go. When is like full disclosure?
So they sort of have it in the 30s as a general
2030s
as a general.
God, I hope I don't die before then.
I think given where we are now, this is like the like slow roll. This is like the former government people being like, oh, we need to protect national security. This is that. Yeah. As soon as something a little bit tangible comes out, I don't think they're going to be able to maintain that kind of
the slow roll.
Well,
there's so much distrust in the government right now. Like I don't even know. There's no centralized. Nobody trusts any leadership anymore. Like how are they even going to?
This is why the review board was so important, and this is what was gutted by those Republicans that I just mentioned in like a compromise version of this. But that review board was gonna have 9 people on it that would be citizens, right? And yes, they would have to be nominated by the president, but it would be everyday people. It wouldn't necessarily be people who were already in these, you know right?
Come on, let's do it, Lester.
So
Esther and Christine,
it's fascinating. I think this is something that people should, like, if this passed in March, we're going to have CNN specials about like CNN hours where they're like, oh, but Biden nominated, you know, 9 people at this thing. And it's like, people are going to be like, what the hell is going on? And where is this coming from? So this is a big reason why I started the TikTok, was to try to like show the, where this came
there
from
was an
story.
Actual paper trail.
Yes. Yes.
This is not just some weird. So, but let's talk about this. And I mean, this is like a bigger picture question. Why now? Why disclosure now? Who cares? If we've kept it secret for so long, the human race, who knows how long the aliens have been here?
Right.
You know,
right.
They built the pyramids, or we don't know. Why now?
So there are a couple of possible answers. So part of it is that this modern process in the U.S. government side of things effectively started with the former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid when he created one of these, you know, letter programs in 2008. And it's now actually come out in the last couple of weeks, like what that, it was called ASAP, the Advanced Aerospace Weapon Systems Applications Program. that program was built and designed originally to take material from a non-human intelligence in the possession of Lockheed Martin, who is looking to start divesting themselves of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is too expensive. You guys don't let us bring in the scientists. It's too much secrecy. We don't want anything to do with this anymore. So they were trying to divest it. Harry Reid created this basically catch program. Be like, hey, you can just pop it in this program, right? And then we can start to like use that to bring people in to look at it. CIA shut it down, right? And they're like, not going to happen. But that was like, that started the snowball when then ATIP evolved out of that, where Lou Elizondo came forward, who was the Pentagon guy who was in that original New York Times article. That then led to more whistleblowers coming forward, David Fravor and Alex Dietrich. Alex Dietrich's amazing, by the way. I want to introduce you guys. She's fantastic.
Love it.
She's amazing.
Let's do it. Let's
fighter
get
pilot
weird.
Who saw the TikTok in 2004. She's doing great work.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I saw her.
She did the 60
so
minutes.
She's so incredible. Yes.
Yeah, she's amazing.
These are like, by the way, these people coming forward, these whistleblowers are decorated military pilots. These are not just like hillbilly guys.
They're flying $50 million jets. So like if we are upset about, like if we think these people are crazy, then like, you know, they shouldn't be flying $50 million jets.
Right. Right.
So, and she's amazing. And I think that's the kind of like, again, is she's like, I don't even like the UFO stuff. I have no ownership over this thing. It's something I experienced, but you know, is curious about it just as much as we are in terms of like,
what's
going on there?
So basically in 2008, this guy wanted to get the materials back from the private sector. A guy in the government was like, hey, it's time to reclaim this stuff. It was being thrown away.
It was a little bit of both. It was, you know, so Harry Reid had heard these rumors for a while. There'd been previous attempts by other people to try to get, you know, access to this stuff. Lockheed denied him access to the underlying program. Like the person who ran the security for that was like, no, you can't get into it. So he was like, okay, I'm going to create OSAP and we're going to just like have them divested into that. CIA said no. ATIP forms out of that. Lou Elizondo comes forward. That was the start of the modern era, is that New York Times 2017 article, where now, because prior to that, the U.S. government's position on the UFO topic was, we spend no money on it. We haven't studied it since Blue Book in the 60s. And that was a lie on its face, given this OSAP program, let alone any others that have yet to come to light that also were going on. So once Lou came forward, Fravor, Dietrich, Graves all came forward. These are all pilots. And their whole thing was like, look, this is an aviation safety issue, right? So if you don't even have to get into the non-human intelligence stuff and the craft and the bodies. Like, we're flying around and this stuff, we're having near misses with this stuff. And we have no way to like report it because of the stigma, right?
So they're called crazy. Now that commercial pilots are like, hey, we see stuff.
Same, exactly.
That's the flight you guys are on,
correct,
by the way.
Correct. And there's a huge now influx of commercial pilots thanks to Ryan Graves, who was with the military whistleblower. He started his own organization that is like trying to help commercial pilots. Because if a commercial pilot comes forward saying they saw something, they get pulled and they get tested and then you're out.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether
it's 50, you're done.
Regardless of whether it's real or not. And like, that's like, look, I would like them to be able to say, hey, like something's flying around my plane with 200 souls on board and like not worry about being fired.
Even if it is a Russian spy thing, great. Well, then let's fucking shoot it down. Figure out a way to get these fuckers out of our airspace or whatever.
Exactly. That's all cascaded over now the next couple of years, where now Congress has created all these new legislation, the Aero Office. The Pentagon has a UFO office.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yes.
Right now. That's public.
Yeah. Did you guys fucking just hear what he just said?
Like,
it's legit.
Like right now.
Office. With a placard on the wall.
Right. The director is like, we know who he is. Yeah. He talks about this stuff. Like, he wrote a paper with a Harvard professor about motherships, like potentially be like.
Joe Rogan. Okay. So with the why, because I was looking for more. I was thinking of like, well, why now? Is it because the aliens have like, okay, we're going to come out now?
Yes. No. So
So
another reason about the why now is there's a fear that Russia and China in their efforts, because they can just. If you're smart and a physicist, they can just take you from wherever you are and put you on the program, right? Mm. So there is a perception that they might potentially have been making some fundamental breakthroughs on their material. Uh-huh. And because of the way we are set up with our security clearances and all that stuff, we can't get the smartest people on the project. So there's people in the insider basically saying like, yo, we need to get this out to more people so that we can make progress
to catch up
with these guys.
The Ruskies and the, yeah.
So that's one of the other. And then the third potential why now is like, it's the actual NHI itself, like,
NHI,
you know, non-human intelligence.
Okay.
It's I like to stay away from the word aliens because
I agree.
I don't know what it is. Like, we don't know that it's from somewhere else yet.
Could be interdimensional, dude.
Could be.
They could be sitting in this room with us. Right. It could be, which that they're like, the aliens or whoever are like, hey guys, TikTok,
yeah.
2029, we're coming down. This shit's over. You guys are ready. We're evolved. We can talk now.
Right.
Or they will reveal.
Right. Right. And it could also be a travel thing, right? It could be that, you know, like they're from so far away. It takes, literally takes the, so they could have like local pods that are like monitoring planets all over the, you know, universe. And when you get to a sufficiently advanced place, then they send over, you know, the motherships, right? Or whatever it might be. One of the arguments is that the reason, one of the reasons that might be the case where they have these like pods all over the place. When we dropped the first nuke, right, split the atom.
Yes, I heard this theory.
That is like a fundamental science breakthrough that is like a clear sign of like intelligence progressing on a planet. And that could be like a trigger signal, right?
To the aliens, the catalyst. That's what they were saying, that the aliens were interested in our nuclear weaponry, and that's the theory being that the first atomic bomb is kind of a signal, right?
Yeah, like
a flare.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're like, oh, they're ready.
These hairless apes have a bunch of big ass bombs. Let's make sure they don't get into orbit.
That's right. And there's stories, I mean, I don't know if they're true, of aliens shutting down nuclear facilities.
No, this is actually one of the things that, so these are legit. I'm glad you brought this up. There are several missileers, the people who run our missile silos, from generations that have all have these stories of, you know, there being a UFO over the silos and then missiles being taken offline, right? And having no other event where things go offline even close or similar to that. But there's always the presence of a craft and the shutting. Like, this is one of the, Robert Salas is one of the ones who has been talking about this issue. He was at an Air Force base, not Minot, Air Force base on the border of US and Canada, right? Where we have a lot of our strategic nuclear defense stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's been telling the story for ages, and there's multiple people. I mean, this is, same thing happened. There's a new gentleman that just came forward at Vandenberg, and it was a giant red square over one of the launch facilities. He had all of he did the security reporting, has all the notes. Multiple people saw this thing. I mean, it's, and again, the stigma is one of the reasons, like, we can't just have an adult conversation about this. Like, these are people who we're trusting with the most destructive weapons on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they're trying, they're like screaming for help around this. They're like, look, y'all, like, that's kind of a problem. And this is also why the government potentially doesn't want to talk about it, because if there is some sort of capability that this stuff has to impact our nuclear weapons, you're not going to say that to the public.
Correct. Because we're, by the way, yeah, we're toast. But then I also, again, if they wanted to be, you know, bad towards us or whatever, they could have zapped us eons ago. That's not the relationship I believe we have.
That's a big argument people have. It's like, if it was a threat, a real threat, we wouldn't be here.
We'd be done, dude.
And I think that's fair. And, you know, it's also why, like, it's why that sort of also the military has a hard time dealing with the issue, because they're set up to deal with threats.
Yes.
And ostensibly the stuff's flying around and floating around, but it's not really a threat. So they don't really, it's really an issue for the scientific and academic community to try to take hold of. But the problem is, like, there is this vice grip by the national security state over this issue in a way that is unreasonable and unnecessary if there's no threat, or if you're trying to tell us there's nothing there. Like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I think that's where the frustration is coming from. It's like, okay, great. Like, if you're saying this is a waste of time, then like, prove it. Right.
Right. Right. But we have to funnel everything through the lens of a threat for it to make sense to government. And
correct.
It's like, okay, great. Is that the game we have to play to get this stuff looked into?
Right.
Okay. It's a big threat. They're going to get us. Okay. One last topic. Cause I wish I could talk to you forever. Will you come back to Austin again?
Yeah,
Let's get weird again.
Absolutely.
The water, the ocean, these crafts. There have been testimonies from Air Force pilots, people saying that these crafts can go in and out of the ocean like Nothing, bro.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. We can't do that.
We like, and this is, so this was a big move. This is why they moved to UAP and not Anomalous instead of Aerial, because of these unidentified submerged objects. So one of the things that's so interesting that people don't really know is like a lot of the ocean is actually classified, right?
What?
By the, because the government has submarines around, you know, floating around.
Right.
And so like if there's submarines in the area, like one, we, most people don't have the capability to get there anyway. So it's kind of like a moot point that it's classified, but, these, you know, subs are one of our strongest strategic defense assets. So there's super, super secrecy around it. But again, same thing. They're seeing stuff on their little radars down there, things going like 100 knots in the water. Like, you know what I mean? Like we can't do that. And they're coming in and out of the water with no change in performance characteristics.
I know. That's what I'm talking about, Lister. It's so fucking exciting. It's so exciting because you hear these pilots talking about it and you're like, wait, what, dude?
Right.
With no change in like its speed or anything.
And they're seeing it where it's like, it almost like some, in some cases it doesn't like interact with the water. So it doesn't make a splash. When it, like, it's so bizarre.
Dude, it's so bizarre. Do you think, and this is really out there, this is other level weird, but I don't care because we're going there today. Do you think they exist in the water? Are the aliens living in the water?
I think water, there seems to be a correlation between two things and the appearance of this, these craft, nuclear material and water. And I think it's very feasible. Like water could be an energy source, right? So Earth could just be like a gas station.
Made of water.
Right. You know, we're made. It's
primordial stew.
It has massive abundance on our planet.
Yeah.
So it would make sense if it was a resource. It was viewed as a resource, right?
Right.
And that would make Earth interesting because we're the only planet in our solar system, at least that we know of right now, that has large amounts of accessible, maybe some of the moons on Jupiter, but of water. So I think it's, I mean, Catalina Island is a known hotspot for this stuff. Huh? There's all these rumors about, oh, that's where one of these underwater UFO bases is. The Tic Tac stuff happened off the coast of San Diego, not too far away from Catalina. And
there's military bases there.
I think water is interesting because it is an energy, possible energy source. It's also a great hiding place.
Yeah.
Right?
What the fuck is in there?
We don't even know half, like 90% of what's in the ocean generally. We know more about this, like stuff hundreds of, you know, light years away than we do about
the trip is that we don't even,
we don't really know that much. We know some stuff.
Why don't we know?
That's a good question.
Why don't we know? If we can go to other planets, like we can go to Mars, why can't we send a craft down to the depths of whatever? And I want a picture of a giant squid. I've been hearing about them my entire life. You know? What the fuck?
There's
so much mysterious. And I think, too, the inevitability, like with the sharing of information and the internet, you know, this is creating a renaissance. This is another sharing of information and WikiLeaks and people being like, it's time to know.
You know what's funny about WikiLeaks? That's actually how I got into this originally, was within the WikiLeaks dumps, there were emails between like generals.
Yes.
And Tom DeLonge.
Don't even talk to me about Tom DeLonge. Come on this podcast, Tom DeLonge. Mm-hmm. I have to talk to him too. I'm obsessed with the Tom DeLonge story. If he's going to, is it Blink 182?
Yeah.
He's in the band Blink 182. And he was helping the government create a disclosure program to the youth.
Yes. You know what's funny about this? So I actually was surfing.
Bananas.
And met somebody who was like family friends with DeLonge. And like the grandfather was a Lockheed Skunk Works guy. And this kid I was surfing with connected DeLonge with his grandfather. And that's what kind of started the whole To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science thing that he did. And because the idea was these insiders wanted to get this out and they didn't really know how to do so. And Tom, who's been obsessed with aliens
his whole life,
was like, I've read every book. I know. And you know, people love rock stars. So he was able to kind of get in the door and he was like, I have a plan. That side of the story is fascinating.
You guys have to go. There's podcasts that discuss like the Tom DeLonge story. It's fucking bizarre.
It's very crazy. And a lot of really ostensibly powerful people, like, you know, he was in the rooms with these guys.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, he's
and,
had
like,
conversations
with people. And he was for
sure
in the rooms with these guys. And, you know, they have pictures with, like, it's...
The emails was crazy. There's, like, between government people, like, about
It was Obama's chief of staff, I think, at the time, and some generals on the Joint Chiefs and DeLong talking about disclosure. How are we going to disclose?
How are we going to tell the public about aliens?
This was supposed to happen sooner, but Trump got elected. Apparently, they were greasing the wheels for Hillary to be the disclosure president.
Sure.
And then Trump came in, and they're like, shit.
And she blew it, man. Her personality was just dog shit. She fucking blew it. Because and you know what? She had such a good run. There was a minute. Remember when the memes were being made about how cool she was? It was like, bro, you had him. And then you had to fucking be your dorky self. I could have taught you, Hillary. Just be honest. Just be yourself.
I think when you were talking with Jetski, you were talking about how she was like, oh, she's one of the reptilians.
Maybe she is a reptilian. Maybe she is an alien.
I didn't really want it out. It's great. I think the one thing I definitely want people to take away
Tell
is like
us.
Just there's a lot of biased preconceived notions we have about the subject because of the media, because of the history of it and all that stuff. And I would encourage people to just suspend disbelief and like take this at face value and try to like absorb the new information. There is Chuck Schumer, who's a Senate majority leader and a political animal, is not putting his name on a piece of legislation that defined non-human intelligence and used it 22 times in that legislation. He's not doing that on a whim.
Right.
Regardless of what you feel about him politically, he is the Senate majority leader because he's smart and good at his job of winning in politics. So he's not going to put that out there with no basis. And I think this issue has been dominated by old white men for a very long time, understandably, because that's who's in these security positions in the government.
Doing stuff.
But there needs to be like more people like me, people of color, right?
Yes.
More women
yes.
discussing this issue and involving those perspectives in this conversation.
For sure.
Because I don't want these national security guys to be the only ones sort of driving the narrative of how we deal with
this. Well, you don't want these old white guys in Alabama and these fucking backwards ass places being like, we don't want to know about the game. Like, just go right, grow up. Let's evolve. Let's move on. Let's get into it. Disclosure by the 2030s. You heard it here. 2027 is going to be, the first official, right? So let's look for that guidepost. I can't fucking wait.
I think we're going to be seeing some interesting things. Congress is on this issue. There are people motivated to get stuff out of government. Talk to your local representatives. Talk to your senators. Like, people are engaged on this issue. Seriously.
Yeah, email your congressman, right? Or
yes,
email Chuck Schumer. Or
yes.
Your local. Who should they email?
So, funny enough, after I started the TikTok stuff and it started to take off, which I didn't even expect. I was just trying to do public education around the topic. People kept asking me where do I go? What do I do? So I built out a platform called UAPcaucus.com. A caucus is a group of people that have shared beliefs in government, right? So there's like, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus who focus on black issues. There's the Democrats have their own. So that's kind of where that naming convention comes from. And on that site, there's a call tool where you can see who all the people are that are supporting this.
Great.
Scripts, news articles, studies. Like, it's a great repository of like primary source information about where stuff is, as well as like who you can contact locally, like in your own state or area. And again, I don't have the answers. I'm not saying it's necessarily NHI or not NHI, but there are a significant amount of people that apparently believe that to be true that are in a position to know.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And L. Royce, basically, you are the authority on all this stuff. He actually reads these pieces of legislation that are so boring and so dry, and he interprets them for regular people like us to understand. So thank you so much for coming to Austin and like explaining this stuff to me and to people that are interested. His real name is Lester, but you'll know him as Elroy Spacely on TikTok. Follow him if you want to find out. I mean, literally, he covers like everything that happens in Congress. This guy is like, today they released a bill. And he'll explain to you all the acronyms and all the weird stuff that's happening in the government. And I cannot thank you enough for doing this, because
pleasure.
It's just it's so exciting. It's an exciting time to be alive. Who knows what they'll discover, what it'll be, but it's just freaking cool.
It is.
Yeah.
No, it is. No, pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
This was great.
You're awesome. All right. Thank you so much. You know, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Until next time, stay cool, moms. Bye. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's wearing thongs, hitting bongs at? Raising kids, cleaning shits, need a long nap. Where my mom's, where my mom's, where my mom's at? Where my mom's at podcast with Christina Pee.